Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we just finished watching Season 6, Episode 7, The Broken Man, also known as Forever, I'm sure. The one where Clegane comes back. Sandor Clegane.
You're underselling this.
I am.
Are you ready to do it with me?
Do what?
The It's on. I am fully hyped. Dude.
It is. No one has any idea what the fuck we're talking about except for the spoiler people who are thoroughly enjoying that.
This is essentially the first time I've had, this is another red wedding. Like the fact, you know what I'm saying? Like the fact that we've essentially been talking about this for 3 years. Dance with Dragons came out, really.
I had not.
And the only thing this is why I'm so excited, because this is no longer a spoiler. Sandor Clegane is still alive. Now
he's still alive. I swore it would never happen.
In the show, it just hyper jumped beyond that one fact and just went into like what I'm assuming is the next act, which might be, I don't know. This could be controversial amongst book people, but I thought the way they handled his conversion to the faith, quote unquote, deconversion, the fact that he's he kind of got peace and now he's fucking angry and looks like he wants some ass to chew. Like I thought that was incredible.
It was. It was weird though because they go into the cold open, and it felt like a different show.
It did not feel like Game of Thrones. You are right.
I think that was on purpose.
Yes.
I think they wanted to show the difference between these people and all of the other people we've seen in the universe.
I mean, just structurally,
of Game of
like you said, throwing in a cold open, which that is not
That's
the way
not
Game
do
of Thrones
it.
Does. It right. threw you off balance, yeah.
It did, yeah. And just something about how bright it is and how cheery everything looked.
Did we wake up in the Shire?
That's exactly what I felt like.
Bilbo Baggins was around the corner. What's going on?
Yeah, a couple of flutes and a jig or two, and
then,
I would have been like,
and then
like,
that
yep.
one badass motherfucker carrying the log it takes four men to carry lumbers in the scene. It's like, I mean, yeah.
It was pretty good.
So good. So good.
I felt like
the moment was... I can't imagine what it would be like to get that moment if you're like not even prepped for it.
Right.
And they didn't do any like previously on hinting at the hound. Like it must be like just a 10 megaton bomb going off on you.
Yeah. I saw somebody taking screenshots of like the preview for this week and they were like showing the hound's feet and like, oh, it's the hound. He's back. He's back based on his shoes and some long pants, which, you know,
he does have distinctive foot gear, I suppose
he does. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I knew it was coming, ish, at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of surprised that they didn't tease it a little more. Just went right into it.
They just really were right on. And the thing is, in the book, it's very subtle. Like, they don't even say that this is the hound. It's like, you know, just you see this unusually large gravedigger and have this long, obtuse conversation with the Septon there about the man Sandor and how he was dead and he's at peace and... Like, it's pretty obvious that that's actually, he's covering for the Hound, but just to get it over with, I thought that was awesome. And honestly, you know, a lot of action, but every one of the dueling scenes were impressive. Like Margaery and Lady Olenna, and the High Septon.
Not like sword duels.
No.
But yeah, you're right. For me, what really made this episode, along with the Hound, is Lady Olenna. She was... just on point, just giving it to everyone.
Yeah.
To the nun, to Cersei.
How she breaks down Cersei at the end was just amazing. It was so good.
Any instant take ideas about what the rose means?
Well, I mean, obviously I've got a plan.
Yeah.
This is not, I'm going to, you've got it. It's time to pass the torch. It's time to pass the thorn.
Yep. Yep. We don't know what her plan is, and I still don't see it.
Nope.
I don't know exactly.
We're beyond the books in this, so I'm just as excited as anyone. And that's the thing. And what I like how they're playing it, where the High Septon's kind of like, and like Septa Ulna, like you know, this is a very severe, which I'm increasingly finding I'm fetishizing this woman.
Okay.
Yeah, something
about
her.
She's wearing like a real, like...
I kind of want her to...
squeeze box sort of thing.
I kind of want her to read scripture to me and tell me I'm bad.
That's your own neurosis, my friend.
Sure. I'm feeling very complicated feelings. But I feel like the way they're playing them is like, she's saying everything right. There's a whiff of bullshit. This is too good to be true, but... what am I going to do? Drag her out in the streets for that? She's kind of already the you can see the power in the relationship starting to flip. Because what the fuck with the high? The people love Marjorie. The people love the crime.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like he could just as easily turn them against himself.
And if he goes and like, oh shit, this might not like they're kind of she's reverse Cersei-ing him.
Mm-hmm.
And like if he would right now slit her throat, I think the whole people turn against him already.
And then Tommen, I mean.
So it's like, I think we're going to get a lot of feedback. Like, I don't like the artificiality of Marge's performance, but mm-hmm. I kind of think that was the point. Now, you could also accuse me of just making excuses for the show, but no, I think that's like, it's already too late.
It did feel a little artificial to me, and it sort of annoyed me. But I don't know. That's a difficult thing to pull off, this crazy devotion to something.
Well, so I got another artificial thing I want to run past you. I know we just did our movie podcast this week on Magnolia. And
right.
you expressed strong dislike for child actors acting wise beyond their years. What'd you think of Lady Mormont here?
She's too strong for a child. She's too strong of a character.
She was walking a knife blade, and she just made it across the bridge.
Yeah,
just.
She felt the drawbridge came up before she got across for me, because
yeah.
I just can't do it. Kids, that's not a kid.
That's the thing. Like I think that her thing wasn't working for me, but I thought Davos was amazing.
He was.
So like I was like, oh god, Jim's going to hate this, and I'm going to have to join him. But then Davos got in there, and I thought he literally saved the scene.
He did.
Because
yeah.
You're right. Like, I want to, like, in the books, you can have, like, essentially a badass 9-year-old girl who will say that shit and make you, like, hell yeah, fucking Lady Mormont. These Mormons are fucking hard. They come out of the mother's womb slapping full grown men and smoking cigars and lighting bears on fire. But in the TV show, you got the reality of.
You have to look at a child.
That's a 9-year-old girl who's, like, playing tough, and it's coming across as no affect at all.
Yeah. Just doesn't do it for me, and if it does it for you, that's fine. Like, and you know, that's just one of my things.
I think the actor did as good a job as she could have done, but I just think that, like, you know...
That's an impossible task for a child.
Yeah. But I thought with Davos jumping in there, you pulled it off. So kudos. Kudos, Lady Mormont.
Let's talk about the other kid who got stabbed in the guts this episode.
Well, see, that's the... talking about harshing one's buzz. Like, I was...
I could have sworn, like, 15 seconds into that scene, this is a dream and she's going to wake up at any moment. She's just worried about whether or not Waif is coming after
her. Cecily said that at the exact same point you did, and I had two emotions wave over me. One, relief, and second, anger.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, no. If this
that's
is
so
all
cheap.
A dream...
So cheap.
It would make sense, and it wouldn't be fatal, but like, no, you can't do that.
I don't know what she's doing now. She's stabbed multiple times in the guts. She's walking through the streets. Somebody's going to find her, and if it's not,
is it
Jackin?
Is it too late to bring back the tired old Cereal Pharrell?
If he's just going to swing in on a rope?
And says, what do we say to the god of death? Not today, and swings, and as she's stitching her up, and that's exactly what's going to happen.
I don't see it.
Cereal. That's what my little boy heart wants really, really bad. But, oh, man, such a great
I think Jackin's going to get hold of her. I think this is the double triple test.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the girl is supposed to, the other girl is supposed to do it painlessly, and she fucked up her. That's as fucked up a contract as any, right?
I think so.
So maybe
kill got away.
The double triple quadruple flop is going to be. Gonna work out.
Just saying, I wouldn't be surprised if some kindly old man takes her in and heals her up, and we find out 2 episodes from now it's Jackin.
Mm-hmm.
And she passed the final test.
Guess what? It's Jackin. It's always been Jackin. And then he pulls off a face and it's a Waif. And then he pulls off another and it's Jackin again.
He's just Sean Bean.
Just fucking with you. Yeah.
Who knows?
And then Jackin. I got you. You thought it was your dad. I saw the tears.
How many Jackin masks does he have? Can he do 6
that's
layers
the thing.
Deep?
That's the thing. You can always take off. You know, he's Jackin. That's the one true face. Ari could peel hers off right now, Jackin.
Right, but how do you get...
It's Jackin all the way down, just like the turtles.
Right.
Let's see.
That's
the other bomb.
Some other really amazing stuff here. I don't want to talk about Jamie quite yet, but...
Okay.
Where were you going? It's the other bomb.
I'm trying to think, what are the other dialogue pieces? Septon Maribald, who played Ian McShane, His performance, his speech with all of his scenes were really good. I'm surprised it was just a one episode performance, honestly.
Oh, Deadwood guy.
Yeah.
They should have just called this episode Deadwood. You've got Reek in there. You got this guy from Deadwood. He ends up dying in the wooden castle thing he's building.
Yeah. But it's pretty good performance. But the thing is it kind of got eclipsed by, I kind of want to move on to Jamie.
All right.
Because Jamie has, Jamie's ride through the Riverlands, which we're getting right now in the books, is pretty awesome. It's got full of him in full Jamie mode, fucking with people big and small. And it didn't go exactly this way in the books, but I think it's just as good, if not more awesome, because whatever maybe this show lacks in eloquence, it makes up for in Bronn.
Bronn?
Yeah, like Bronn riding right beside Jamie, that doesn't happen in the books. So, like, you take a book scene, maybe the dialogue's not exact, I don't care, you add Bronn, that's a winning scene.
I agree. I mean, he's, you know, his little argument about who's going to go in here and dig some trenches and stuff. And
Jamie backhanding him with his gold fist.
Yeah.
So good. And then, just as awesome as that was, the Blackfish just, you know, pissing on his shoes was amazing. And these motherfuckers built a drawbridge over a moat just to sell the joke of the Blackfish slamming the door in Jamie's face in slow motion.
I bet we're going to see more of that moat and that drawbridge.
I'm just like, man, I've never seen a drawbridge that fucking awesome before.
Well, other thing they did is, like, the attention to detail in this is amazing. Like, yes. They had fish carved all over the post for that bridge. Yes. And, like, I don't know if we've seen this before, but Jamie Lannister in that armor is fucking rad.
See, I'm trying to think.
I mean, those shoulder pads lions on the side?
Yeah.
It's insane.
I don't think we ever have. I think we've seen, because he's always been in Kingsguard, and I'm trying to think if there's a scene with him and Tywin in the tent where Tywin's, like, butchering that deer. Right. And they're talking about Jamie. Like, he might have been wearing a version of Lannister, but I'm confident that this particular suit, which was crazy.
At the very least, yeah, it's been a very long time since we've seen him in it, if ever.
Like, if I was a remotely good-looking dude, I would cosplay the shit out of that because you look like you're going to look like a million. If you're a reasonably fit and good-looking dude, I don't care if it costs $2,000. Fucking wear that to some nerd con and I think you're going to do all
right.
Take
pictures with all the people. Yeah.
Yes. You will get much interest.
It was impressive, and Jamie himself I thought was pretty impressive. Yeah. You know, up against the Blackfish, it's tough. This guy clearly doesn't give a fuck.
It's just what Cersei told him to be. He's leading the Lannister army.
Yeah, and I think he's going to do a pretty good job. I think, you know, as much as the Blackfish kind of got into his head a slight bit at the end,
yeah,
I don't think that's going to affect him. I think he's actually going to carry out the siege, and
also the Blackfish,
he's going to roll tough.
Blackfish is a badass in his own right.
Absolutely.
So it wouldn't be... It wouldn't be satisfying. The Blackfish is like, you got me.
Right.
And also, just the way they portrayed the phrase is just comically inept. The only reason they got the position they were in was by stabbing people at a wedding.
Yes.
Who were drunk and disarmed and not expecting it. This is the phrase idea of prosecuting a war.
And the most badass thing, in my opinion, was seeing... okay, so coming right off the scene where Jon has to, you know... argue for a good long while, and just by the skin of his teeth gets 62 men. And then you see Jaime Lannister leading an endless stream of guys down the side.
I think
side
he said 8,000 men.
Right. And just, you know, to take back some measly castle.
Sure.
Like, not that big a deal, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to imagine there's a bigger Lannister army in the wings, and just the sheer amount of people. Like, that's what I was talking about, I think, last episode with this kind of World War I-esque sort of...
Yeah.
Never-ending line of troops.
Yeah, sure.
That they really went for it there, and it worked for me.
Yeah, they even though not a lot of action, they spent a lot of money on this episode with locations and extras and,
all
that stuff. He's at House Mormont. He's talking about Jor. Why doesn't he whip out Longclaw? Hey, your ancestral Valyrian bastard sword that, like, only your firstborn gets? Guess who's got it? Like, do you need this? Do you need to hear any other bullshit? I have Longclaw.
Does he have it with him?
Your dad, he stripped it from his, your uncle stripped it from his son, who disgraced himself, gave it to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, practically your leader now.
Yeah.
Stop fucking with me and join up. Like, I can't believe he's got Longclaw and he didn't use Longclaw.
What do you
I would have led with Longclaw. Like, held it up, the white wolf head in front. Yeah. This is me talking.
It's not a bad lead.
No.
What do you make of Sansa being, like, completely ineffective here?
So,
like, marching up and trying to proclaim her Starkiness.
I'm scared.
And just being shut down.
Because I think Sansa's going to show some of her dad's dumb genes. I think she's going to send the raven to Littlefinger or something like that, or the blackfish, and it's going to fuck everything up. Or
she's going to save the day.
It also could save the day.
Yeah.
And it was Jon who was the reactionary, paranoid guy.
It is a last-ditch effort, and I think, you know, Jon clearly is not on board with getting more men.
Yeah, and that's so the thing. Whatever, like, I don't believe he can beat the Boltons with 2,500 men.
It doesn't
seem
like
they hold Winterfell. Like, yeah. Winterfell's supposed to be at least a 10-to-1 numerical advantage, so... Hmm.
And we know he's got thousands of guys.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't
and
see
winter's
it happening.
Coming, and they can't, like, there is no long-term siege.
He's in the same position Stannis was. I mean, he's fucked. He's got less guys.
It's interesting, Jaime's position, because I thought that was full of meaning when the Blackfish is like, how long do you have? Because, like, yeah, you have 8,000 men, but there's a lot of people gunning for you. I know about Dorne.
Right.
I know about the situation in the capital. Like, you might not be long for the world. Mm-hmm. I got 2 years. You might have 6 months.
Yeah. So. And I thought it was awesome that, you know, he didn't just ride up to these places and get an army.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I really like the military action in this. Like, we're actually seeing, instead of just, like, behind-the-scenes political maneuverings, we're seeing a lot of actual shows of force here.
Yes.
And development of armies and movement of armies, and I like that.
And they're putting, like... You really get the feeling that we've got to get this shit over with so we can face the real threat.
Right.
Like, that was articulated this
episode. There is an urgency to it, for sure.
And, like, it's like, oh, yes, finally. They're, like, people are talking about that and not just with their thumb up their ass about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a lot to like about the episode, and it really seems like it was moving things forward in a very positive manner.
I think so. Still really want to know what Marjorie's up to. But
so
we'll
should
find
we talk
out.
About the basic theory of the Clegane Bowl?
That's not really instant take material,
but
I don't
think.
But
we've got it, and I think people would enjoy it. I'll just give it a basic rundown.
Sure.
We have been speculating who is going to be the champion for the faith. You know, who is going to face the mountain, the undead mountain, in a one-on-one duel to the death. We now have Sandor Clegane. Sandor hates his brother.
Doesn't hate his brother, yeah.
Sandor had attained a measure of peace in the books like he did in the show, and now in the show that has been stripped away from him, he's going to be looking for some asses to beat. I know that the Brotherhood, which that surprised me, that the Brotherhood is out kind of taking advantage of small folk. That's interesting.
Brotherhood without banners?
Yeah.
Is that who that was?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you know that?
Because they said it's the Brotherhood, and they worshipped the Lord of the Light, which they've all converted to. Now, pretenders.
And they had the, you know, the saying from the prayer that Melisandre delivers, and like a whole bunch of stuff. So
sure,
right.
So, but the theory is that at some point that Sandor's going to be in a position where the faith wants a champion, and it's the Clegane Bowl. Get hype, and people have been saying that for 5 fucking years, like.
Yeah,
the hype is real. The hype train has left the station. All aboard.
It just feels like... I don't know how long they're going to postpone this fucking trial by combat. Like,
sure.
Does she get to live there for 5 years and then do the combat? Like,
They're going to postpone it for as long as it takes Sandor to get the motivation necessary so it won't be ridiculous when he goes and fights his zombie brother. The second they have those stars aligned...
And maybe this shit is happening, you know, 6 months ago in the timeline.
Yeah.
Like, we're going back in time to see a little bit of Sandor.
Yeah.
And this will, you know, not be a big problem going forward. But I don't know. It seems like if that's concurrent with Cersei's dilemma, then I just don't see how they're going to get him there that quickly. But who knows?
Yeah. But, man, just incredible. Like, we have an unofficial scale here where the booze that we're drinking is roughly in proportion to the quality episode. We just killed a bottle of Glenfiddich 15. So
not the whole thing tonight.
Not the whole thing. We had just enough for 2 drinks left in the bottle we've been saving for special occasion. Tonight was it. And you know, episode 9 is traditionally the hammer, so...
I've seen the preview for next week. I think it's going to be real good.
Yeah.
Real good.
Hmm.
But we'll see.
I hightailed it over here, so
yeah.
But no, I have no doubt. Like, it feels like that we are on with Danny and with the Jamie and with John. Like, we are on just, like, for this breakneck pace to put us on a trajectory where we can deal with the real problem, you know? Mm-hmm. So, pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear what people think about it. Of course, we're going to have a truncated feedback session because we're recording tomorrow afternoon. And releasing tomorrow afternoon because my dad's having surgery on Tuesday and I'm going back home to be with him. So we're getting it out a day early. I do not think it will impact the spoiler podcast later in the week. So get your feedback in at gameofthrones@baldmove.com and on forums, forums.baldmove.com. We got a spoiler thread there if you want to talk spoilers with people. Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess so. See you then.
All right, good night.